We have a change in the hymn today. We will sing hymn number 470 later this week, and now we will sing verses 1 through 3 of hymn 264, verses 1 through 3, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Please rise. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is Matthew chapter 6, the 24th verse. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one afternoon when I was a pastor in Cottonwood, Arizona, I received a phone call telling me that one of the members of our congregation was desperately ill, and they doubted whether she was going to live or not. And so I immediately jumped in the car. I tore off to the emergency room, and I went into the room where she was. At that time, the doctor and nurse was not with her. She was by herself. And so I began having a devotion with her. And partway through that devotion, the doctor walked in. He did a quick assessment. She had anaphylactic shock. She was in very bad shape. The doctor looked at me, and he asked me if I was her husband, and I said no. And then the doctor said, "You're going to have to leave now." And before I could say anything else, this woman, in this kind of quiet, raspy, pained breath, made this statement. She said to the doctor, she said, "It's okay, he's my pastor." Unfortunately, her breath was gone by the time she got near the end of that sentence. And so what the doctor thought he heard was this: "It's okay, he's my master." And that doctor turned his head rapidly and he looked me in the eye, and with indignation in his voice, he said, "You're her master?" And I said, "No, no, you didn't understand her correctly. I'm her pastor. God is her master. I'm her pastor." But, you know, he still gave me that strangest look when he thought that she said that I was her master. That word master, it conjures up all sorts of different ideas and images in our minds. A master is one who controls. A master is one who rules. A master is one who is in charge. A master is one to whom we owe all of our allegiance. And you know, the Greek word used here in our text for master really means slave master. Slave master. And so could it be that we as thinking Christian people would ever allow a person to become our slave master and take the place of God in our lives? Or I'll go you one better. Could it ever be that we as thinking Christian people could ever allow a thing to become our slave master and to take the place of God in our lives? Well, the obvious answer has to be yes. Otherwise, Jesus would not have issued this warning to us in our text today. So before we even look at money, let's look at how something as elusive as time might become our slave master and completely dominate and control us. I have a pretty good idea that I control time. I manage time, so I'm in charge. But there are some days when I wonder if it's not the other way around. For example, my clock says 10:45, go to bed now. My alarm clock says 5:50, get up now. My watch tells me when I am to eat breakfast and lunch and supper. My watch says, "I don't care if you're hungry and if your stomach is growling, it's 4 o'clock, you'll spoil your dinner, do not eat now." It seems like time manages my life. It tells me where to be, when to be there, and how long to be there. Don't be late for that meeting. Don't let that meeting run too long. Don't preach too long. People need to get in and out of chapel in 15 minutes. Pretty soon you wonder, who's controlling whom? Am I in control of time, or is time dominating and mastering me? Well, we can go one further. We can look at money. Can it be that money could actually become our master, our slave master, and that we would fear it, love it, and trust in it above all things, and thus it would replace God as master of our lives? Could that be? Money has that rather sneaky and conniving way of motivating us to do what it wants done and not what we really want done ourselves. So it could be that you thought to yourself in high school, "Well, I'm going to go off to college so I can get a degree." Not an education, get a degree. I need a degree so I can get a good, high-paying job. If I get a good, high-paying job, I can be happy and I can really enjoy life. In other words, it's going to take money for you to be happy and enjoy your life. That's kind of a peculiar thing about money. It controls your happiness. Or maybe there's something in your life that you would really like to do for service of God and humanity. But that career, that vocation is so low paying, I can't go for that. I got to go for something that's going to give me a lot more money later on in life. And so you don't do that which you really want to do with your life. Or maybe you fear money so much that you wonder, "When I got out of college, how will I ever be able to pay my college debts off? I'll end up poor and nobody will like me, but maybe then I'll win the lottery and everything will be okay. And if I win the lottery, well, maybe I can go to Tahiti, but I don't think I have time to go to Tahiti, so that's not going to work." And you might even ask me, "Well, Dr. Kessel, how much do you get paid?" And I'm afraid to tell you because of what money might do to you or me. You see, if you make more money than I do, and I tell you what my income is, you're going to laugh at me. And if you make less money than I do and I tell you my income, then you're going to be jealous of me. So either way, it's a lose-lose situation. So we don't ever share information about how much money we make. And that's kind of the way it is with money sometimes. It can control our decisions, our thoughts, our hopes, our desires, and even our future. And so it is that we tend to have a love-hate relationship with that taskmaster that is time, and we have a love-hate relationship with that taskmaster that is money. But there is one master with whom we can have a love-love relationship. And I'm talking about none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. If you think about it, he spent all of his time for you and for me. His conception through his birth throughout his life to his death, all of his waking moments and all of his sleeping moments, he was living that time for you and me perfectly so that the time he spent on our behalf could be credited to us as righteousness. And then he paid the ultimate price for our salvation. And it was not with jewels, and it was not with paper money. It was the cost of his own blood. Or as one man once said, he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. And why did he do this? So that I wouldn't have to belong anymore to time or to money or to a person or to a thing, but rather that I might be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And you know, Paul summarizes the motivation so beautifully in his second letter to the Corinthians, where he says in chapter 5, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." He paid to buy us back from our idolatrous pursuits to be his own out of love for us. Before closing, let's just put things back into perspective one more time. God is our master, and we serve him not out of compulsion, but out of love because of what he has done for us. Does this mean that there's anything wrong with time? Does this mean there's anything wrong with money? No, it's the abuse of these things that is wrong. Rather, time and money are gifts from God to us. We have the time of our life to live for him. And also, we have means to live, to meet the necessities, our requirements for living, and to share with others that they too may have life on this earth. Money and time are great. They're gifts from God to be used to his glory and for the furtherance of his kingdom. Once again, we close our hearts and minds to those things of the world, and we open our hearts and minds to the things of God. Please rise for prayer. We pray, Lord, take my hands and feet, speech and intellect, time and money, and all things, and use them at the impulse of your love for your glory. Amen. We sing verses 4 and 5 of hymn 264. 264. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.